If you'd like to take your Bibles once again and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we are living in a time at the moment where advancement and development in this world seem to be going quicker than ever, don't they? It seems that every week there is a new discovery, there is some new invention, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. It seems like every time I buy a new phone, a few months down the line, I need to get a new one because it's out of date. And for us as Christians, we really feel a pressure today, don't we, that the world is running on and is developing. And yes, it's a wonderful thing. It's a gift from God that we are living in an age that has the best medical care that we've ever had, has the best education, scientific discoveries. And it's part of God's design, I truly believe, that, you know, he's called us to subdue the earth. There's always something new to glean and something more to discover about this world. And it's a wonderful thing when we see more of God's glory and wonder in his creation. But there is a temptation for us today to feel that the world is running away and has left behind God's work and the path that God has ordained for us. And we feel it and we hear it so often today that in many times people say, well, you can't surely believe in this archaic stuff. Surely by now we can understand that we have no longer any need to believe in God. We don't need him anymore. And that science has surely disproven everything that is in the Bible, and that man is at the pinnacle of what he has ever been before. And how can you stand there and believe in these things that were written by mere men thousands of years ago? And we feel the pressure today. And we can see it in churches all over the world who fear that the ways that have been ordained by the word of God have been left in the dust by this developing world and the new systems in which come about. And we see new ministries pop up here and there. We see advancement, so-called advancement in ministries where people are invited in and no longer is the word preached, because that's irrelevant now. But we bring people in and we create friendships and it's all about community. And we feel that pressure ourselves. And we wonder, well, has the Bible been left behind by society? Is it as relevant today as it was when it was written? Well, my friends, here in the word of God in Jeremiah 6, it says this in verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We see this turn away from the good way that God has ordained for the church. And new ideas are springing up. And no longer are people interested in the authority of the scriptures and in the power of the spoken word, the preaching of the word. And they seek new methods. But we can stand on God's word today and we can assuredly say that God does not need our new ideas. God has no interest in changing the way in which he has given to us from ages past. Because it is the same problem in which we face today that has been since the beginning of time. It is still the same problem of sin, and there's still the same need for salvation for mankind. And so we see a corruption in the church and a decay and a slow turning away from the path that God has made for us. And it becomes a great chasm. And we've seen it through history, time and time again, how the church has departed from what God has placed out for us. And every now and then, we need to remind ourselves to stand in the way and consider, are we in the good way, the good old way that God has placed out in his word? Or are we widening the departure from the truth that he has given to us? We must stand in the ways and see. And so as we look at Jeremiah and we see his situation, we see the necessity to stand in the old ways, in the way that God has ordained for us. First of all, we want to look at how dangerous the new way is. How dangerous it is for us to feel that no longer the Bible is necessary and that we should depart from it. We find here that Jeremiah has often been referred to as the weeping prophet, hasn't he? And that he sees the idolatry around him. And that the very nation that God had called unto himself has incorporated every which way that people feel is the way to God. Any idolatry of the day, it's okay, bring it into the temple. We are an inclusive bunch here, and here Jeremiah, through his tears, can see the danger of departing from the old way. We find here that in verse 11 that God says this, I am full of the fury of the Lord, and I am weary of holding it in. And I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. This whole nation had come away from the word of God. And God is above looking down full of wrath. And he says, I am weary of holding back the fury in which is to descend upon you. And it is a matter of time. And Jeremiah sees this. And through tears he pleads with the people, saying, this is not the way, this is dangerous. And God's judgment is coming. Yet these false prophets and priests, they declared something which was ever so devastating to the nation. He says this in verse 14, and they have healed also the hurt of my daughter, this is the priests and the prophets, of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. We find here that the priests and the prophets that were meant to be ambassadors of God, bringing the people to God and bringing the word of God to the people, they said there was peace, even though the very fury of God was awaiting them because they had departed from the old way that God had ordained for them to walk in. And yet they were here, accepting and smiling, saying, it's okay, come in unto the house of the Lord, we'll take you as you are. Don't worry about your sin, don't worry about the way that you are living, don't worry about repentance and sacrifice, just come in and we'll have a wonderful time together. They were saying peace when there was no peace. It was like putting a plaster on a broken leg. They healed them slightly, and you see the danger that comes with that. Leading multitudes of people to believe that they are in the hands of God, that they will be forgiven and one day have communion with him, when in fact they were in the wrong way. They were on the broad road to destruction. There was surely no peace. But we see how the nature of a peaceful message that incorporates all, when there is no peace, it draws many in. This would have been a revolutionary message to the people of Israel. How they would have thought, wow, look at this message. It's so inclusive, it's so inviting and warming, and yet there is Jeremiah with tears proclaiming that there is destruction coming. Well, where is the natural man going to go? He's going to go to the ones that is inclusive and smiling, and he's going to tell you everything that you want to hear, and he's going to say it's okay, but it's not. My friends, don't we see it today? How that there are messages being proclaimed around the world that no longer preach about sin, no longer talk about judgment and the need of salvation, but an inclusive environment. There is no judgment here. We just want to fill our pews and have great fellowship and unity with our community. And they've departed from the word of God, and swathes of people enter into these places and they sit there unrepentant and unchanged in their sin. But it's time again that we need to look and to realize that more than ever, the word of God needs to be stood upon and needs to be declared. Because it's the old way that God has ordained from the beginning of time. That it's his word that does the power of salvation. As it says in Romans 1, is the power of salvation unto them who believe. And there are multitudes of folk who are hearing that they are in a peaceful place when there is no true peace for them. And they sit unrepentant, unregenerate, and smiling on their way to hell. And it is a devastating thing. And we must take a stand. and tell people of the sin in which they're living in, the judgment that it incurs. But let us do it like Jeremiah. Let us do it with tears, with a tender heart, with a true love for God's word and a love for the lost. We need to return to the old ways once again. Let us preach the full counsel of God. So many times I've heard accusations of the Christian message being one of hate, of one that is not accepting. Truly, it's the most loving message that one can ever hear, because it shows the true issue of mankind and leads them to a Saviour which they desperately, desperately need. So therein is the danger that we find in departing from the good old way in which God has for us. Secondly, let us look at the proven route. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. We're given a picture of a traveller on his way. And so oftentimes the Bible does speak of us as travellers, going through life, trying to follow the way that the Lord has given us, living lives of obedience, being directed. And the traveller has come to a crossroads, if you like. And he has been told by God to stop and consider his ways. And as he looks across, he can see a broad road. There's many people on the broad road. It looks easy underfoot. There are many people smiling and laughing and going along there. And it looks tempting. But yet God says no. Look for the old path. The good way is there and you need to walk that way. And as the traveller casts his eye on the old path that God has laid out for him, yes, it looks overgrown. It looks dreadfully narrow. It doesn't look easy underfoot. There is adversaries along the way. And there are mountains to climb and there are valleys to pass through. And many times it will be a struggle. And the traveller looks to God and says, why? Why would I ever take this road when so obviously this is the easier route? But my friends, that's the good way. This is the only way that will take you where you need to go, from death unto life. And this is the way that God has ordained. This is the way that Abraham went, that David went. This is the way that Christ laid down for us with his very hands. Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? It is only through Christ. This is the good way that we must go tonight. It may not look comfortable. It may not look appealing. But it's the only way that we need. It is the way that Christ laid with his own hands. Because you see, the path never needs to change. Because the need has never changed. We said this earlier. Man is in a sinful state and he needs a Saviour. And this is the only way that we will find salvation, in Christ. It is the proven route. Through ages past, men and women have walked this way and found it to be the good way. Are we walking on the path this evening? Do we understand that we are walking in the old way that God has for us? And for us to suggest any other way would be foolish and destructive, and it would be the most awful thing that we can do to mankind, to suggest that now this is not the way that we should be going, but there is a better way. In modern day warfare, the use of improvised explosive devices has changed the way that armies can advance, or units can advance. And we've seen it, haven't we, in television documentaries or in the news, how the use of engineers going before any unit to clear the route with their metal detectors, checking for IEDs. And as they have cleared a path, they will mark out the tape where they should go, where it is safe for you to tread. And the soldiers would walk therein and drive therein. And it would be foolish for us to see the tape and to see the path that has been proven to be the good route and to step over it. It would be deadly. And so often we see that pattern that churches are taking, where the proven route has been ignored. And as it were, they step over the tape into dangerous territory. And only death and destruction is found therein. Matthew 4:14 says these famous words, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It may be an old path, but it's the path of salvation. And it is the path that God has laid down. It's the path of victory. It's the path of beauty. It's a path of purpose, and we find also, obviously, in our text, it's a path of rest. It is the path that we are to be walking in. And so we see the command itself to us as Christians. Really, we're told here to stop, to look, to ask, consider what we're doing. You see, we should never be satisfied with our Christian life. We should never be satisfied that we are walking fully according to God's will, because that's the way that people stray. And it's a difficult thing to do. And truly, a man who has this desire to walk as closely with the Lord as he can will always stop and consider his ways. Is it according to the word of God? Is our ministry as a church, is it according to the scriptures? Is our worship, is our outreach ministries, our Sunday schools, does it align with what God would have for us? And in our personal walk, obviously. Are the things that I say, do and think, are they honouring to God? Or is something hidden from view in my heart? We constantly need to pray for God to root out those things in our hearts, to search us, to purify us. And through history we have seen how the church has refused to consider its ways, and slowly but surely departed from the path in which God has ordained for them. And how do we do this? Well, of course, it comes from the word. Psalm 119, those famous words in verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is only by the light of God's word that we can look down and it shine upon us, upon our feet, that we can actually see that we are between the tape, as it were, and not straying into dangerous land as we go forward. We often shy from the scriptures because we fear that maybe we are not on the path as we should be. But it's a wonderful thing when God calls us back to himself. When we realize that we have strayed somewhat, it is a difficult thing. Of course, it comes with repentance and heartache. But when we enter back therein, we find such communion with God, such a love and a desire to be with him once again, a joy and intimacy with him. And once again, we are more equipped for his service. And it kindles a fire within when we find ourselves back in the way that God would have us to be. And that's what reformation looks like. Reformation in our hearts, reformation in the church of God. We find that great example in 2 Kings, in chapter 22, where Josiah, the young king, enters the throne after his father has been assassinated. And the Bible tells us that Josiah was a good king, and that he loved the Lord. And it came in his reign, in the 18th year of his reign, that he had a burden to see the temple of God once again restored. And that they were to raise funds, as it were, to pay the builders, to those to do the work in the temple. And as they were searching the temple for the funds, a great discovery is made. And it says this in verse 8, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Here we find, as they were looking around the temple, cleaning up the temple, looking for funds to pay these builders, they found the book of the law that they had lost years ago, and they had departed from it. And they brought it to the king. The high priest showed it to the scribe, and the scribe runs to the king, Josiah, and says, "We have found something precious." And as it was read to the king, he rent his clothes and he repents, and he realized that the nation had departed from the way that God had ordained for them. And it kindled a great fire in the heart of Josiah. And how once again he cleansed out the temple. He cast out all the false prophets and he tore down the idols and he crushed them to a powder and flung it across the graves, disgracing them. And a great reformation took place, a great revival in the church of God. And all the people stirred and listened to the word of God read to them once again. You see, they had come to the place that Moses had spoken of as he finished the book of the law and he closed it up. He took it to the temple and he said, put it beside the ark. Because I know that you are a stiff-necked people. And I know that you won't hearken to these words. You don't hearken now, Moses said. How are you ever going to hearken to these things when I'm gone? And he was right. The whole nation had departed from the book of the law. And there we find that great blessing that comes with returning to the way that God has ordained for us. To see and ask for the old path, where is the good way? And to walk therein once again, in the church of God. This is the work of returning to the good old way. Are we content with our walk with God? Or are we evaluating ourselves, asking God to root out those things, to show to us through his word what needs to be changed, that we can have communion once again with him? But of course we find, when we find the old way, we've asked for it, and we walk therein, it says this, we shall find rest for your souls, the rest that is found in the old way with God. This is the promise of the good way. The old way that God has ordained. There is rest found therein. Well, just earlier we said it was a way that is filled with trial, filled with enemies. It is not easy going. But here in our text we find that it is not a rest for our bodies, but it is a rest for our souls. Yes, the Christian life is difficult. And there are many trials that we have to battle and wade through with the power of God and with his blessing. But all the while we will know that our souls have flown away and are in the arms of everlasting, the everlasting arms of Christ. And that he has us secure. And that we are rested in him, knowing that nothing can tear us away from the love that is found in Christ. And that we have eternal security and that we are sealed by the Spirit. And that whatever happens in our lives, we know that we have an inheritance with Christ. But all the while knowing this, that we can actually now put our bodies to work. That we can now say that I am willing to spend and be spent for Christ because I have a security of him in my soul. And that now, whatever this path brings, whatever trials and difficulties come my way, that it's okay. I have rest in Jesus Christ with my soul. It says this in Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. This is one of the great calls of Christ for those who are heavy laden and burdened and weak and sorrowful to come unto him, to find rest. But yet you enter into a yoke, a symbol of work and of labor. But here we find that Christ speaks of coming under the yoke with him. It's a light burden because Christ pulls for you. You see, the image here comes from an agricultural understanding that a young steer would be placed alongside an old oxen, that he would learn as the oxen would pull next to him. And no matter how the young steer would pull away and would try and get away, well, the oxen would keep it on the path in which it is meant to go. That he would not be led astray by this young one trying to get away from the yoke. And that is our relationship with Christ. Yes, we come under the yoke with him. There is work to be done, but truly Christ pulls for us. And we work in the victory and we live in the victory with him. And it's a wonderful thing that we can be kept on this path, on the straight and narrow, as it were, with Christ beside us. I wonder tonight, are we treading the good old path that God has laid out in his word? Have we evaluated recently what we are doing in our Christian witness, in our church life, in our ministries? And have we found anything that is not in line with Scripture? May God speak to us through his word. Are we venturing to gain ground for the cause of Christ? May we not be tempted, like many are today, to look for something new, to look for some new way in which people can be drawn in. Or you may well fill the pews, but you won't have repentant hearts coming to Christ. And that's our goal. We want to see people saved for the glory of God. We don't want to fill our benches with vain and empty worship. You see, there's a good path that God has ordained for us to walk in. And that is the most successful path that we can ever endeavor to walk in. And truly, he is the one that does the work. He's the one that pulls alongside us. And it's a restful way. The message, yes, we find that, you know, things change in terms of means. 100 years ago, we didn't have live streaming. What a great privilege that is. But the method, the preaching of God's word, his word, and the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, never changes. So may we endeavor, may we be encouraged with what God has given us. Let us go forward knowing that God will save, as we spoke of this morning, and understanding that we are not to stray from the path. And may we find rest therein.